How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. I'm back. Happy Sunday, everybody. It was a beautiful summer vacation for me, a summer break. I needed a summer break. I think we're going to do this moving forward, where in the summers I'll take some time off so I could recalibrate. After 15 years of doing this, listen, I don't know how Dave and Brian have done it all these years. I needed a little break. I needed like 2 months off. Josh Nason did an unbelievable job over the last couple months. Big thank you to him. I loved listening to him on the show. He was excellent. It's not the last you're going to hear of him. He'll be filling in regularly here. He'll be doing it at least once a month. Because I think he did a tremendous job. He should continue doing it. But it was a lot of fun this summer. A lot happened in pro wrestling this summer. A lot of unexpected stuff. A lot of people ask me, did you keep up with wrestling? Of course I did. Even if I didn't want to, even if I really want, I can. Because it engulfs my life. Between my boys' group chat and my kids. My daughter is a huge wrestling fan now. My son, too. It's really nice to see their perspective and not have to talk about it. You know, it was kind of like a realignment for me. I said it on Matt Men when we came back on Friday. Cheap plug here, Matt Men podcast on YouTube. I said it on Friday where your perspective changes when you just watch something, and your perspective changes when you need to work and you need to comment on things and you have to, you know, look at the little nuances and kind of follow the news. I followed everything, but I watched it as a fan. And it reinvigorated my enjoyment of pro wrestling. We're gonna do something different here. We're going to talk about some of the things that happened over the summer that I had information on that I didn't speak about. And then we're going to go into everything else here. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. You know what? I hit that first 2 minutes. The guys at Sports Byline are patting my back here. They're like, wow, you've been rusty. I have been. I did a test show. I did Matt Men. I was rusty. First time in 15 years I took off from the radio, from podcasting, from any kind of broadcasting. My voice is a little higher. What is it? You got to have the hot lemon, right? The hot lemon and the tea. My interns aren't in. Sunday, they're off. But I wanted to touch on some of the things that happened over the summer, and I'm going to bring my producer here, MG, because he continued his social campaigns, and he continued running the Matt Men accounts and continued doing everything here, which was nice. But a lot of moving parts this summer. Before we go into current stuff, I wanted to just touch on a couple things that happened. One big one being the ESPN deal with WWE. This is something that WWE has always wanted to infiltrate ESPN, that ESPN ecosystem of content between SportsCenter and everything else that they're doing. They've always wanted to be a part of that. Now they are. You know, you grew up watching wrestling, almost a decade before me. Did you see them going to ESPN? Like, this has always been something that's been discussed, right? Like how either WWE will never be on ESPN because it's not a real sport. I'm using hand quotes here when I say that. Or it's been ESPN doesn't want them. Or it's been this is the only thing that WWE has ever wanted was to be on ESPN. It was interesting seeing the conversation around this. But what do you make of it?
I find it fascinating. First of all, I thought there was a better. I thought they would just outright buy WWE before this would happen.
What, like Disney would purchase them?
Yeah, that was kind of before this thing happened. But having said that, you know, the exposure they're going to get is going to be insurmountable.
I don't know. I'm curious about that.
Will it be accepted on that platform? That's the question, I think.
I spoke to someone at at WWE, and they called, you know, I got a call when this was happening. They didn't realize I was on break, and it doesn't matter to them, but they just wanted to, you know, talk to me about it. And the conversation I was having was, do you guys think this is going to create a boom of sorts, right? Because it's a very different market from being on a Peacock or being on your own WWE network or being on, you know, terrestrial TV, linear television. This is very different because the ESPN ecosystem consists of, I mean, it's your exact demo. You know, you're not in an ecosystem where you have, you know, wrestling and then you have The Office. You are in a very specific ecosystem with the exact demo that you're catering your product to, and that's men 18 to, you know, 42. Will this change anything? I don't know. I don't know what the answer there is, because when you look at TV rights and pay-per-view buys, and you're looking at, you know, PLEs versus PPVs, and we're going to see this with AEW as well, because we're going to talk about this deal that got announced with Max, that got finalized, I should say. The deal was announced prior, but it got finalized this week. I don't know if this means they're going to garner a larger PLE audience. I think what it is more than anything else is that they're tapping into a great ad revenue center here with ESPN, because it's advertisers that are advertising for their exact demo. You don't have ad buyers like, you know, a lot of, I'm going to give you a little peek behind the fourth wall. It doesn't matter how great your content is. It doesn't matter how great of a radio personality you are, or a great a TV show, a drama, a comedy, a sports-based product. It comes down to your sales team being able to sell ads and how many ads they could sell versus how much they're paying you. WWE on Fox was a success. You know, forget about, you know, I know a lot of people imagined they'd get 4 to 5 million people a week on Fox. That's going based on old, my ECW signs. See, I said something bad about WWE here, and the signs are falling. They've infiltrated this studio here, the Wrestling Observer East Studios here in New York. I don't know. And really, it's going to come down to the sales team. And actually, ESPN, they are totally equipped for this. So is it going to be a success? Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a great partnership, and they're going to talk about this like it's the greatest thing ever. Very interesting stuff here. I think this is a positive for WWE. I don't know what this means for ESPN. We're going to see with WrestlePalooza. Talk about ECW. Still, this brand, the brand that will never die in professional wrestling. You had AEW at the 2300 Arena. That was a ECW love fest, obviously. You have WWE running that building. You have WrestlePalooza back. Paul Heyman's all over TV. Rob Van Dam's having babies. Taz got honored. A lot of ECW still happening here. But this is a very interesting time for pro wrestling. I think the WWE deal is very interesting. You know, a lot of the other conversation here is the international rights and international access and how that's going to go for them. You know, they are not... These stadium shows are going to become more and more. The international shows are going to become more and more. This is a global product. This is not Vince McMahon's WWE anymore. And that was another conversation I had over the break. Because we were talking about this direct competition. Counter-programming. Everything AEW is doing, all the PLEs are being counter-programmed. Which, listen, to the fans, it's terrible. Nobody should be rooting for this. If you're a pro wrestling fan, if you're a WWE fan, it doesn't matter. If you're an AEW fan and exclusively that, it doesn't matter to you, because you're the 180,000 people that are going to order that pay-per-view, or 120, whatever that number is, right? Let's say it's 100,000 diehards that are going to order that anyway. It's not about you. It's about allowing somebody to discover the content, discoverability. And that's harder when you have a competing product going up against you that's larger and bigger and more established than you. And listen, it's not about hurting the pay-per-view. It's about hurting the next TV rights deal that comes up. Diminished return. If you counter-program everything they're doing and you're taking about, you know, 10 points off the top or 20% of the viewership there off the top, that's a detrimental takeaway from their viewership. It's not going to matter to the fans. They're still going to talk about it, that 20,000, 30,000, but you want to see year-over-year growth. You want to see some sort of stability. You don't want to see a decline. And that's what WWE is manufacturing here, if you take away the audience. Now, there is the other argument that the last time they attempted this, with Saturday night's main event and that NXT show, it was a detriment to WWE. Around the same time that ESPN conversation was happening, and the PLEs are no longer on Peacock, and Saturday night's main event is no longer on NBC because that number was very low. Was it wrestling fatigue? Would it have been low anyway due to other competition? It's possible. But, you know, me as a fan after watching for 4 hours, do I really want to turn on another show and watch another show for 3 hours or 2.5? I don't know because I'm a very different demo as a 41-year-old. I don't have it in me anymore. It's fatigue. I don't think a lot of people have it, but some will. And they'll be happy and they'll scream about how fine, how okay this is because it doesn't matter. We're going into a very interesting time here. We're going into a very interesting WWE. This is not the same WWE. I mean, even from the beginning of the summer to now, we've seen changes here. And AEW had a great summer. I mean, the TV was good. I enjoyed the pay-per-views. All In was a great pay-per-view. Forbidden Door was a blast. Even with the injuries, I mean, everybody came out and put on a tremendous show. And now they're going into, AEW's going into a season where Will Ospreay's gone. He's hurt. Swerve is hurt. Kenny Omega's hurt. And now they got to create, you know, new upcoming wrestlers that people are interested in, which they have been. We're going to talk about that. I think this Takeshita stuff with Okada is fantastic. This and a whole lot more. And AJ Lee's return when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Let's talk about this big night for WWE on Friday. In the making for a very long time. AJ Lee makes her WWE return on SmackDown. They were in Chicago. At the Rosemont Horizon, right? The Allstate Arena. Legendary building. That crowd was hot for that show. Opened up with John Cena. Ended with AJ Lee. What year is this? We're back in what, 2011? 2011. Yeah, 2011-ish. 2010. It was nice. It was a big moment for them. So pretty much what happened, here are the highlights from the show, and then we'll go into it. AJ Styles' promo was interrupted by Sami Zayn. John Cena's promo was interrupted by Sami Zayn, who asked Cena if he could bring back the United States Open Challenge. This was nice. I really enjoyed this promo. They actually had a great match. I really enjoyed the match between Sami Zayn and John Cena. It was so many false finishes. John Cena started doing moves that don't belong to him, like a spear. Did you see that? It was the lightest spear I've ever seen happen.
Yeah. Is that going to be his thing? Pay homage to all the people he's worked with?
All the people he's worked with? I guess, maybe. I mean, you know, he has a lot of moves he could do. It ended with a no contest when Brock Lesnar came and essentially murdered both of them.
I knew from the beginning that's how that segment was ending. I goes, this is a great match, but
Lesnar's showing up.
You know where they're going. Yeah.
It was actually, I really enjoyed it. Sami Zayn is so incredible. Everything about him, he's always been good, but the fact that, you know, he's having these matches at this level, and this guy took a beating his entire career.
You know what he's nice? You know what he's like? You know what he reminds me of? He's a nice piece of duct tape. Something's a little broken, or you don't need to repair something for a minute, you can just throw Sami Zayn in,
and it works every time. it was good. Aleister Black defeated Damian Priest. The Battle of the Spooky Guys. Damien's a spooky guy.
Yes.
He's a big boy. I got to tell you, nicest guy ever. Don't believe what the internet tells you or TV tells you. He's a nice, nice guy. Julia defeated Mission via pinfall to retain the U.S. Championship. Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, CM Punk, AJ was the closing segment here. And this was a big deal. Becky Lynch came out to a bunch of boos. Pretty much what happens here.
The crowd was eating. It was hot.
The crowd was hot. No, that Chicago crowd was great. God. They loved it. Seth is in the crowd as Becky's in the ring. And Seth is doing his, you know, Seth Rollins, ridiculous over the top stuff, which, by the way, I don't like. I don't like the over the top stuff. Take it seriously. I get that that's the character, but I'm not crazy about it. She comes out. She calls out CM Punk. CM Punk comes out to a big reaction. Lynch is confronting Punk. Starts yelling at her. I'm sorry. She starts yelling at him. Hits him. He says, starts teasing in the ring. Like, who am I going to bring out? Am I going to bring out Rhea Ripley to beat you up? Am I going to bring up this one, that one?
Bailey.
He exits the ring. He says he doesn't put his hands on a lady, but he knows someone that will. And here the music hits. Light it up. Here comes AJ Lee.
The internet exploded.
It's funny because I'm watching my kids, right? My kids don't know who she is.
Right.
Like, they don't because they're too young. They were born far after she left. And they're like, who is this? I'm like, that's CM Punk's wife. And you know what their first reaction was? CM Punk has a wife? That cranky guy is married to somebody? That was the biggest spoiler for them. So she comes out, huge reaction. She's skipping down to the ring in her old gear. Immediately hits
almost
Lynch
looks
with Luke
the
does.
Same.
Looks the same. Looks she looks incredible. Her abs are unnatural. Chiseled out of stone.
Right.
Chiseled out of stone. Mm. She looked great. She does a Luthez takedown on Lynch. She goes out of the ring. They celebrate in the ring. Punk and Lee are hugging. They're celebrating the show. She picks up Lynch's title and starts skipping around the ring with it. This was a really good closing moment for this show.
On that set, that extra segment they released after the show went off the air, they released it. And I don't know if you saw it, but
I saw that one. Yeah,
she took the title with her. So I don't know if that's gonna be part of the storyline.
I don't
know. Or if it was just for the show.
I don't know. But this is a big. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So this actually, the way they did this, I thought was almost perfect. And the way they did it, it actually reminded me of how Punk debuted in AEW, where it was a worst kept secret going.
Yeah.
You know she's coming, but until you actually see her, you can't believe it. That was the same thing how Punk was when Punk debuted.
You know, it's interesting because I knew that gut feeling that she will show up. Now that he's there and it's a love fest, she will return because, you know, she didn't want to leave. She left because of the circumstances. It's not like she, you know, her contract ended and she was on, oh, do I want to continue doing this? She had tremendous love for pro wrestling.
Yeah,
and
she retired, right? Yeah.
Yeah, she retired.
Walked away from her contract.
Walked away. She was done. Yeah. And I understand that, but, you know, and the interesting thing is, you know, she missed out on that entire boom period.
Which she was almost indirectly, maybe directly responsible for it happening. You know?
Her last match was AJ and Paige teamed together to defeat the Bella Twins at WrestleMania 31. That was her last match.
She retired.
Yep.
Yeah. So that after. Yep. No, she may have wrestled. I want to say she wrestled on the Raw after.
Let me see.
I could
here.
Be wrong. About
What is it? Cage? What? I want to see her last matches.
Cage match.
We'll do this.
This is live radio, people.
Yeah, this is live radio
just
here.
Stuff up.
You know what's funny? I put that in. It doesn't even come up that website on Google. That's weird. I'll find it later. I'll find it after the break. But, you know, it's a very different WWE now. Very different WWE, very different, which I think it'll be more positive in that sense. But the quality of wrestler that she's going to be working with is far higher than at that time.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I'm not knocking anybody, but it just evolved. I mean, let's look at her last couple matches here. I mean, I could go down. Look, AJ, Naomi, and Paige defeating Natalya and the Bellas. They're all still involved in some way. I mean, that's actually a positive. So it was 2015, yes. Her last match, her last time there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, she was working with Natalya a lot that year. Charlotte, Alicia Fox, Emma, AJ. I mean, even with the talent that was there, like Paige and Nikki Bella and AJ and Charlotte, it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same.
Correct.
She was wrestling Cameron regularly in 2014. And I'm not knocking anybody, you know? AJ and Tamina Snuka versus the Funkadactyls. Riveting TV. Natalya and her were in a big feud in 2013.
It seems like a totally different company now.
A lot of Brie Bella and Nikki.
Yeah.
They didn't. I mean, look at the depth. There's no depth to the roster. I mean, Caitlyn was there and she was good. She had a great look. I mean, I've gone through 2 years of her matches, and it's Caitlyn, it's the Bellas, it's Tamina, she worked with.
This was a lot of that, like, and all those matches were about 2 and 3 minutes long. There was a few that were longer, but for most part, they were very, very quick matches.
WWE Divas title, AJ Lee, Eve Torres, Caitlyn, Divas Championship Triple Threat, Eve Torres, AJ Lee, Layla. Very interesting. So, listen, this is, and I'm sure for her, this is going to be a blast. The quality of talent that exists on that roster is unbelievable. We're going to see it all, but you know what we're seeing first? CM Punk and AJ Lee versus Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch.
By the way, can I mention one thing before you go into that? I thought AJ Lee's worked punches when she, after she hit the Taz Press on her and started punching, I thought they looked really good. I don't know if she was laying it in or what, but that I thought, you know,
no, she's always been good. She's always been good, and I'm willing to bet. I mean, now with the way that the training goes, and you know, having Punk there with her, this is going to be. I'm very curious to see her in the ring because it's been a number of years, but she was still in the ring every now and then.
Yeah, well, she did heels. She had to work out for that. So. Mm-hmm. And there's video of her training with Punk on the internet somewhere.
So now we have WrestlePalooza coming up, and that's the match. And obviously, this is going to continue between CM Punk and Seth Rollins. It's going to continue between Becky Lynch and AJ Lee. Do you put that title on AJ Lee? I think you should. I think that's great. Something different. Have her out there. Good media appearances. The fans... It's going to be... Are they going to sell the shorts, too? They're going to sell everything. The belt, they got to sell the boots, they got to sell the shorts, the tank top.
The merch was online within 20... Already, within 5 minutes after they...
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But I'm looking forward to this. It was a nice, positive, uplifting SmackDown. When we come back, we're going to go into Collision. I want to talk about Dynamite coming up next week. AEW All Out on the 20th with a time change. And a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Guys, do me a favor. Follow me on X at Andrew Zarian. That's where I drop all my scoops. Like I did for this one last week. Last week, I posted that AEW had an announcement coming up regarding pay-per-views on HBO Max. And a lot of people started speculating. What does this mean? Is it going to be free? Is it going to be discounted? What does this mean for the other partners? Well, it's not free. It is discounted. If you're a Max subscriber, if you're a U.S.-based HBO Max subscriber, it's discounted to $39.99. It's a $10 discount. You could still order the pay-per-view on all their other partners, their content partners like Amazon Prime, YouTube, PPV.com, and linear pay-per-view providers. So you don't need to have a Max subscription. A lot of people were confused, and I kept saying, I'm like, it's still available to everybody else. But the messages were, so not only am I paying $40, I'm also paying whatever for Max. I'm like, yes, if you're already a Max subscriber and you choose to order the pay-per-view on Max, you don't have to. There's no gun again to your head. You can order wherever you want to order it. But I do not believe they are going to be advertising any of the other platforms that they're on television. Why would they? They want you going to Max. A, I'm sure they have a better revenue split on Max. For people who don't know, the revenue that you get from the pay-per-view, for the pay-per-view of $50, is split between the provider and you. So either it's a 60-40 split or in your favor or their favor, or it's a 50-50 split. It depends on the provider. It depends on the deal that you cut. So you're not making all that money, but they make a ton of money from the pay-per-views. The other thing is you can't undercut your other content partners by giving this away for free on Max for Max subscribers. You have to offer something. It's not like what WWE did here. So it's very interesting. I'm curious about this and what this means. Now, I also want to touch on the fact that this all summer long, I've gotten asked this question about Max viewership numbers. Who knows the number? Who doesn't know the number? What is the number? My timeline blows up every time I say this, but they do not have 500,000 unique eyeballs watching on Max for their Dynamites. I know there's math that have been formulas that have been created, but it's not accurate. Do I know the number personally? No, I don't know the number. Do people know the number? I would say yes, people do know the number, and they're not going to release the number, the people that do know it. So is that a bad thing? Is that a good thing? It doesn't really matter now, does it? Does it really matter for your enjoyment of the show? No. It only matters to the advertisers, and it matters to the ad buyers and the ad sellers. That's who it matters to. Obviously, that you want them to do well if you're a fan of the product so they continue growing. But I don't think it's a positive when numbers are put out there with no... I will say this, there's nobody that covers this that can confirm that number, okay? There's nobody that will be able to do that. If they are telling you that they have confirmed this number, I don't know. I'm not saying that they're lying. I don't know what kind of math they're doing, because the math that I'm using is not mathing. You have to also look at other products. The NFL...
You mean Steiner math doesn't work?
Steiner math does not work. I'll give you a good one here, right? The NFL... was on YouTube, wasn't it? On Thursday.
Yes.
What did they do versus linear? What they would have normally done on linear. It's always lower. Mm-hmm. It's always lower. You also don't have the ability to do channel flipping when you're locked into digital. So you're not going to have this crossover of audience. We could talk about this. I'm sure we're going to talk about this a whole lot more, but I do want to go into everything else. But I did want to address that, because this is all I've been asked all summer, is about that number. I have an idea of what the number is. I'm not going to put it out on this show, because then it'll most likely get reported as if I'm reporting a number. We'll talk about it on another fun show where I don't take things as serious. But I don't. It's not near that number that you're seeing. So, Bryan Danielson is joining AEW commentary team full-time. Starting on Wednesday, September 10th, Danielson will be a member of the AEW Dynamite commentary team on a full-time basis. I think that's great. He was fantastic on Forbidden Door. Did you like him? He was great.
Yeah, I really like his insight and how he presents it. He's so upbeat and so positive about all the wrestlers, and he's easy to help. He's able to allow the story to develop and tell it in a way that is very technical, but yet we all understand. Yeah. It's very easy. Newer fans can get involved because he helps them get there.
Yeah,
that's a good commentator.
He's a good. I like him on commentary. Now, was this the last of the residency, or we got one more?
We got one more. Dynamite. Which it looks like a pretty big Dynamite.
Dynamite's going to be a big one for the last one. So this was, what do you make of the ECW arena, the 2300 arena? I, My opinion is that I think it would have been great if it was a one-off for Collision and Dynamite. I don't think it looked the way they wanted it to look for a residency.
Yeah, it looks kind of tiny. And we talked about this on the other show, but when it's when ECW ran, the lights, it was so dimmed down.
It was dim. It was gritty. It kind of worked. It kind of worked. This is one of the few ones that I would say did not present the way that they wanted it to present. I thought NXT presented better with the lighting. I didn't love how it looked. And, you know, last night the crowd was pretty quiet. They weren't this rowdy, crazy crowd. It was a good show. It was a really good wrestling show. Jon Moxley defeated
that
Daniel Garcia.
That first Dynamite they did there. Oh, sorry. But that first Dynamite they did there, the crowd was just insane.
Yeah, they were into
it. To where
it,
they had to cut the audio several times because of the things that were being said.
I think they'll be pretty rowdy for Wednesday as well because the card is pretty good. You got Jon Moxley defeating Daniel Garcia last night. It was a good match. Jon Moxley is their ace, really. Between all these injuries and everything, they always could lean on him. And amazing the difference this person is compared to Dean Ambrose a couple of years ago, right? What a different human being. This is him in his true form. Big Bill called out Eddie Kingston, which will be making his return soon. I mean, I guess he's... His rehab is doing well, and his training is going well. If this is the program, I'm kind of into this. This is fun. Maybe that could be the match for Newark. I think that would be a good match for their pay-per-view for Full Gear in Newark, which I'm not going to. I'm not going to Jersey. I'm sorry. FTR defeated Adam Priest and Tommy Billington. I was surprised. Tommy Billington did not get a big response. Adam Priest did not get a big response. Adam Priest looks good. Good body on him. He's on the indies. He looked good in the ring. If you're going to team these two up, I think they look good as a tag team. They're smaller and they're jacked. Both guys, Tommy Billington and Adam Priest.
You could tell that FTR were trying to give them enough to get them over.
They gave them a lot. They gave them a ton, but the crowd was not reacting. You had a big party match here. Multi-person match. Chris Statlander, Harley Cameron, Mina Shirakawa. And Tony Storm defeated the Triangle of Madness, which is Julia Hart, Sky Blue, and Thekla, and Megan Bain. At the end, Jamie Hayter came out in her best Mike Awesome, That 70s Dude gimmick. Comes out.
I thought it was Daphne from Scooby-Doo.
You thought it was Daphne from Scooby-Doo?
That's how far back I go.
She came out for the save, helped out the babyfaces, Tony and... Tony challenged Hayter, Statlander, and Thekla to a four-way at All Out. All right, should be a fun match. Kyle Fletcher comes out, big star energy on Kyle Fletcher. Oh. He challenged Adam Page for the AEW title at All Out in a really, I mean, great promo.
That match is going to cook.
Really good promo. I really enjoy this, and I thought the last couple things that happened on the show were really well done. Kyle Fletcher comes out, challenges Adam Page, AEW World Championship, All Out. You got the TV title, you got the TV champion, and you got the world champion in a match. Perfect, right? Old school wrestling. Old school wrestling. Great. Then you had Takeshita come out. Oh. Takeshita, and it seems like the match is going to be Takeshita and Okada at All Out. Yes, thank you. Is it a little early? Yes, I think it's a little early. But, I mean, looking at the situation that they have on hand here with the injuries, I think this is a great match.
Yeah.
I think this is fine. I'm into this. So, Takeshita turning babyface? Maybe. Maybe.
Leaving the Don Callis family?
So, this ended with MJF showing up, shoving Mark Briscoe off the top rope, leading to a pin. Now, MJF got married on Friday
night. Yeah.
Now I want to know which Long Island reception hall did he get me? Was it Okika Castle? Was it Jericho Terrace? Was it Westbury Manor? Was it the Chateaubriand? I know every one of these venues. Okay. I can list them on and on. Fox Hollow Country Club?
I'm going to guess it was none of them.
Was it the Country Club in Plainview, Long Island? My wife worked at that country club. You don't think it was any of them? You don't think he got married on Long Island?
I'm thinking it would have been a little more private.
What do you mean? Those are private reception halls. I saw some pictures. I saw the walls. I saw the color. I think I know where it was. Congratulations to MJF, by the way.
And Alicia Hitout.
Oh, the Alicia. Yeah, of course, Alicia. Of course, his wife as well. Alicia as well. Happy for both of them. I thought this was a fun collision, but here's the problem with that. You know what this was to me? This was an excellent Studio 605 show on a Turner channel. Right? It was a studio show. It looked like a studio show. It was a fun studio show. You had, you know, up-and-coming young baby faces get, you know, show up on... I thought, when I saw Adam Priest and Tommy Billington against FTR, I'm like, oh my God, this is right out of NWA.
Yeah, it did feel like an 80s.
This is like a 1980s NWA match. Like, you got two young guys that may become somebody big in a couple years against the veteran tag team. And they gave
Midnight
them a
Express.
Lot. Yeah, it was the Midnight Express. Yeah, it was... I really, it's so by that account, Stokely is Jim Cornette. He's Jimmy Cornette here.
Yes.
I never saw Jim Cornette come out with nosebleed strips. The tennis racket, yes. I never saw him with the bleed strips on his nose. I thought this was a fun show. But it is what it is. I don't know what these are going to do for them. I don't know how to fix it. If this is the presentation that you're going for, you're going to get about 350,000 viewers a week, and you're going to put on some really great wrestling that fans of wrestling are going to watch. If that's the product you want to put out, then fantastic. If the product you're trying to put out wants to garner, you know, 800,000 viewers, this format won't work for that. I love this format, but I'm selfish. I'm old. I'm not young. I have not seen Dragon K-Pop Demons on Netflix. Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline, final segment of the show. My producer here, MG, brought up a really interesting point about Takeshita going to Japan because he won the G1 over the summer, and he has a title match coming up, right?
I believe they're doing it in October instead of Wrestle Kingdom, which the traditionalist in me wishes they would wait and do it like they normally do. They're doing it in October.
Dude, put the title on him now. Then put the title on him now. Put the title on Takeshita. New Japan needs that boost. And unfortunately for New Japan, and I can't believe I'm saying this considering how fantastic New Japan has been. I mean, it's almost as far as buzz go, it's a dud right now. And you got to create some buzz. And it's not a knock at the wrestlers at all when I say that. Sometimes things are out of your hand and they've had a bad card that they were dealt over the last 5 years. But you could do something here by putting it on Takeshita and having him feud with, you know, maybe you involve Okada as a favor. You could do something big. And they should. It's only good for AEW when New Japan does well. Forbidden Door doesn't matter if New Japan is a dead promotion. Coming up this week on Dynamite, you got Hangman Page and Josh Alexander, Ricochet, Shelton Benjamin, my sign is falling again, Mercedes Moné and Sakura against Riho and Alex Windsor. Her theme constantly tells us. Her name is Windsor. All Out, scheduled for 3 p.m. on the 20th. Hangman Page, Kyle Fletcher, John Moxley, Darby Allin in a coffin match, Mark Briscoe, MJF, TBS champion Mercedes Moné against Riho, Tony Storm, Chris Statlander, Jamie Hayter against the Triangle of Madness, and I'm sure a whole lot more.
That's a four-way. That's actually a four-way.
It's a four-way. I'm sorry. And it's a four-way. My apologies. Four-way. Also, you have AAA Worlds Collide from Las Vegas on the 12th, 10 p.m. start. We're out of time, though. We'll see you all next time on Wrestling Observer Live. Bye-bye, everybody.